2. And as we get started, I'm going to start off with the C.S. Lewis quote here. We ought to give thanks for all fortune, if it is good because it is good, if bad because it works in us patience and humility. I really like a lot. It's cool when I go through a lot of the quotes and whatnot. Aaron, you can kick that back behind you if you need to. He has so many. He has so many great quotes of things that he has put out. And his movies that you see the symbolism of the Christianity, they're just fantastic. Okay, so tonight we're going to do a little sharing, and this is thankfulness in serving. And so part of this is pretty explanatory. Some of it, as we go through it, you're going to be like going, ooh, that sounds kind of a little hard. Okay? And I understand that. The thing is when we go through here, I'm going to show you some parallels where it might kind of open up people's ideas. And especially as I see things in the culture nowadays where it's like, okay, these things need to be corrected. And if we don't correct them, the world will instruct us into the ways of the world that we got to fight against. So let's start off in Colossians. Colossians 3. Well, we're going to be on page
207.
Close to the back.
No. She was there. In the New Testament.
Oh.
Yeah, you're pretty close there. That's right. 207. 315 through 17. And I'll read this. Okay, good. And let the peace of Christ act as umpire in your hearts, unto which you've been called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell within you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with gratitude, raising song with your hearts unto Yahweh. And whatsoever you may be doing in word or in work, all things do in the name of the Lord Jesus, or Yahushua, giving thanks unto the Divine Father through Him. And this doesn't give caveats or exceptions that, hey, when things are great or when you get really blessed, that this is when you do this. This is all things. And that's where it's tough, is when you get to that point. But what I'm going to try to show is that it's a mentality. It's a mind change that you have to go into to be prepared for those bad times where you're already set and you're already ready and you already know how you're going to react from that. Somebody would read 22 through 24, just down the page a little bit farther. It gives the commandments here in the next few of them. I'm going to skip down to 22. Somebody read 22 through 24 for me.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Ye servants, be obedient in all things unto them who according to the flesh are your masters, not with eye service as man pleasers, but with singleness of heart, revering the Lord. Whatsoever ye may be doing from the soul, be working at it as into the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Lord Christ are ye in service, for he that acteth.
That's good there. That's good. And so that's it. And so what you're doing is you're doing things for Yahweh. And so it's too easy to not be noticed from other people. I think about that even in like the body of Christ, where people, pastor gets all the accolades, if you will. He's the one that's up front. And people admire him and aspire to him. And then I think about all the behind the scenes of what takes place for this to happen, and those people are the unnoticed. They're the invisible hand, if you will. And so everything you're doing, it'd be really easy to possibly be jealous of the showmanship or what the person's doing. Okay, let's go down here. Lonnie, I'll let you read 1 and 2 of chapter 4, just down the page, just 1 and 2 for me.
Ye masters, that which is just and be
equitable
unto your servants, be reading.
Rendering.
Knowing that ye also have mastered in heaven, unto prayer, be
devoting yourselves,
watching therein, which thanks thanksgiving.
Very good, honey. That's it. And so the big thing is even when it's always, you always look at it like a person's at the top of the chain, like, oh, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. Everybody has to answer to somebody. It's just the way things work. And so it's saying that, too, for the master. So it's above. It's telling you, you people who are in servitude or in bondsmen, if you will, here's what you have to do. And then it tells also for the master, here's what you have to do. Because you have a master. You are in servitude and a bondsman as well. Okay. This is a good one here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You guys don't know anything about it. He is a... boy, just an incredible guy during World War II time frame. We pray for big things and forget to give thanks for the ordinary small and yet really not small gifts. And this is where I hear people say that, where people are, woe is me, and what they're doing is they're missing all the little things that are taking place around them. They're missing the little miracles, all the blessings, the money that's coming in to buy the food, everything that's taking place. So here's where we're going to go with this, where I'm going to kind of draw this. Lack of thankfulness to Yahweh is tied to rebellion against Yahweh. Okay? Think about that. If you are unthankful, what purpose or what servitude do you feel to something? You think about that in relationships with people. There's somebody that you're not thankful for that's just irritated you, rubbed you wrong, and you're like going, I'm not going to do anything for that person. That person ticks me off. Okay, well, it's no different from Yahweh. And so when we have that, when we are outside of that thankfulness to Yahweh, it opens up those doors for that. So this is one of the first things, is that we correct that we're not always, well, when are you going to put this out for me? I've been waiting for this for so long, Yahweh. When's it going to happen? Where there's no humility, there is no thankfulness. And also, thankfulness is tied to worship of Yahweh. Okay, and so even with that, even in the hard times when things were happening and people would get down and pray, you're like going, it's such a great reminder to us that, hey, let's pour out everything that we are thankful for. Even though we're in calamity and things are going bad, that we're still doing this and we're still coming before it. Because regardless of what today is, tomorrow's a whole new day that's coming out. And so when we can readjust our mindset to the thankfulness of Yahweh, regardless of the situation. And so I kind of laugh because I have a confession on this. The whole going to church thing. As a kid, I Mom, if you're watching... I was always very reluctant to go. It was forced. I had to go to church. It was not something I wanted to do. And there were times even with fellowship where fellowship night would come around and you'd just be like, oh, golly, it's fellowship night. I had other plans. I wanted to do these things. And all these things would come into my mind. And then I would go to be served. That would be my mentality. I'm going to be served. And it was bitter. Golly, okay, yes. I really didn't feel like I got served tonight as I leave fellowship. Or something would happen. You know, it's just one of those things where it builds up against you. And I think everybody's had that. You find on Wednesdays and whatnot that things, you almost feel like you're being attacked in certain areas. And so these things would happen. And it wasn't until I readjusted my mindset, I'm not going to be served, I'm going to serve. And so when I did that, changed that, it all turned around, because then it didn't matter whether I went, if I knew the teaching and knew everything about it, I'm there, I'm here for you, I'm here to pour out for you, and it changed everything. All of a sudden now, fellowship was completely different, and I'm like going, boy, how easy that is, but yet at the same time, to be there with a different attitude that I am here not to be served, but to serve. And I think about that with Christ. Here's the King that comes, and what is He doing? He's serving. He's serving everybody. He's washing the feet. He rides in on a donkey, for crying out loud. All these things were prophesied. And then what? He pays the ultimate price for something He never did. Okay, this is serving to the ultimate. This is the nudge versus the grudge thing I kind of came up with. Is to get rid of that, golly. And so we have to push that away. We have to fight against those things. To where, okay, it's fellowship night. Now, boy, can we come up with an excuse not to go? You know, it happens. It happens to people in church. So as I'm talking, I know a lot of people that do watch or will be watching that you feel that sometimes. And it's our duty or our responsibility to fight against that and kick that and correct that thinking, that bad thinking that you're going to be served, or the people who go to church on Easter or, you know, Palm Sunday or Christmas, that they're going to be served. I hope the teaching's going to be great this year. Well, guess what? Maybe you're supposed to be there to be giving money or to be comforting somebody or speaking words to somebody. Instead of going for you, be going for everyone else. And that's where the nudge versus grudge. We're called to be imitators of Paul. Okay? So I'm going to show a couple things on here, which is kind of cool. Having the correct attitude regardless of our current situation. And that's where Aaron and I were talking about this last week, about all the examples of things that were taking place and happening. And you're like going, golly, did I miss it? Is something going on? And even before they, you know, they're about to be shipwrecked, and tried to navigate for days on end with no sun, and right before they're getting ready to disembark from the ship, they eat and they give thanks. They're about to, for all they know, they're about to die. And we're also talking about that, how Christ is asleep during a storm. I'm like, oh boy, total content, just content. We're fine, everything's good, but the thanksgiving, to pour out the thanksgiving before, that it recorrects us. So even if we don't want to and we force ourselves into that, that nudge, all right, you know what, I feel like I'm really being attacked, things are really coming against me. I'm going to sit down for the next 10 minutes. I'm going to time myself, and I'm just going to pour out thanksgiving to Creator.
Amen.
Okay, this one's a good one here. This is a story from a janitor of John Wesley. He was a pastor, but he went to Oxford University. And he was going to a church and a seminary, and there was a single older man who was one of the janitors there. And as he's going with it, this guy has nothing. He lives out of the church. He doesn't have anything. Everything that he owns is could be fit in a basket, you know, in this church. And he's kind of joking with him because the guy's always professing how thankful he is. And he asked him one day, he was like 20, 22, 23 years old, John Wesley, and he asked him, he goes, what are you so thankful about? Why don't you explain that to him? And he did it as a sarcasm. You know, like, go ahead and pour out what you're thankful for. And the guy knew that he was sarcastic, and he said, this is a quote. He said, I thank Yahweh that He has given me my life and being a heart to love Him, and above all, a constant desire to serve Him.
Wow.
Like, yeah, you've got nothing, but yet at the same time, this guy knows, he goes, I have a desire to serve. And so while he's a janitor, and he's one of the guys that's in the back, who's not getting the accolades and all the notice, he's still in a job, an important position, and he's serving the body and doing what he's supposed to, and he's got the right attitude. He's got the exact right attitude for it. My cat hears my phone vibrating. Servants. So here's a couple of them out of the New Testament here. We'll kind of go through here. And you don't have to look these up because I've got a few of them on there. But Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, a called apostle, separated under the glad message of Yahweh. We are called to be servants. Okay? Now, a servant, when we look at it, and we are going to look at it here in a minute, what is a servant? Okay? What is a servant? Because there's a huge discrepancy on what a servant is in the body of Christ. Okay? And we're going to explain it. I'm going to go through it. But as you do this, kind of think to your mind, what does it mean to be a servant of Christ? What does that mean? Philippians, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Titus, Paul, a servant of Yahweh. James 1:1, James, a servant of Yahweh and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude, Jesus Christ's servant. Okay, so you see these people, they're called for this. Now, Galileo, that doesn't sound like I want to be the one to get all the attention. And you're like a servant. Well, is a servant the one that's getting the attention? You're being called for something, so what you're being called for is to serve. So in the Greek, this is it, and it's called doulos. Okay? And you see it right here, and I added in here into the red, but this kind of sums it up right in here. It's attached to the owner. That's what that means. You're attached to the owner. So slave, bondsman, man, servile condition down here, one who gives himself up for another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. Okay, it's a servant or a bondsman, if you will. That's the Greek. Now, when we look at it on the other side, it's very similar, but in the Hebrew, it's ebed. Okay, servant, manservant. You see slave, servant, manservant, subjects, servants, worshipers of Yahweh. Also, special send in the prophets, Levites, that are servants. These are their servants. So they're servants. And so they have a special calling or special duty. But when you look at the Greek, it means to be attached to. That you are attached to. It's not something that you can break. You can, but you're missing it, and you're actually disobeying by doing that. Go to 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 16 through 23, and I'll have an adult read that if they would, please. Page 172, I believe.
I'll read it.
16 through 23, please. Okay.
172. Okay. For if I be telling the glad message,
it is with me no matter of boasting. For necessity upon me lieth, for it is woe to me if I should not be telling the glad message. For if by choice this thing that I am doing, I have a reward. But if not by choice, with a stewardship have I been entrusted. What then is my reward? That in telling the glad message free of cost, I should put the glad message to the end. I should not use to the full my right in the glad message. For though free from all, unto all, myself I enslave, that the larger number I might win. Therefore became I unto the Jews as a Jew, that Jews I might win. To them who were under the law as under the law, not being myself under the law. That them who were under the law I might win. To them who are without law as without law, but being without law to Yahweh, but being lawful subject to Christ, that I might win them who are without law. I became unto the weak, that the weak I might win. To all men have I become all things, that by all means some I might save. But all things am I doing for the sake of the glad message, that a joint partaker thereof I might become.
And that's it. I might become, and that's it. And so he's called to that I am enslaved. I'm enslaved, and that I will be all things to all men to spread the word to do this. And so he knew it. And so you look at Paul, you're like going, did he live a rock star, life? No, not at all. But he knew that he was in servitude, and yet still went out and was grateful. Was always grateful for what he would, what he would come into, and the thanksgiving. Even him and Silas, when they're being beaten and they're praying and singing. That's tough to be able to do, to put yourself in that. So this is where I was going to explain this here, the servant versus volunteer. And I think too much now in today's worldview, the servant is a volunteer, and they are not. Okay, volunteer means I get to decide. A servant means it's been decided for you. It's already been decided, okay? And if your person wants to look at it as enslaved, like he just said that he was, I'm enslaved, fine. That's very accurate, that I am enslaved. I am enslaved. And so a volunteer means I'll decide when and how long. So a volunteer picks and chooses when and even whether to serve. A servant serves no matter what. A volunteer serves when convenient. A servant serves out of commitment. A servant does what they are told when they are told to do it. A volunteer does what they want to do when they feel like doing it. And that's what you see so much nowadays where, even in the church area, okay, I can do this. I'll do this because it's on my terms and I want to do this, versus the whole attitude that I'm going to serve. Whether I show up and there's a job for me to do, I'm here to serve. What do I do? Tell me what's needed and let's go to it. And that's the difference between it, where we have to break from that volunteer status where when it's convenient, over to put ourselves in that I am a servant, and therefore I will, as I am called, I will go, regardless of what it is. If I'm called, this is what I will do. So let's go to Luke. This is a good one here that I like. Go to Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 7, and I'll read this. It's down at the bottom of page 79. Okay, so when we read the beginning about the rewards and the servitude, this is also in comparison to it, but it's a different angle, if you will. Everybody there on 17:7? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll read this, 7 through 10. But who from among you, having a servant plowing or keeping sheep, when he hath come in out of the field, will say to him, straightway come and recline? On the contrary, will not say to him, make somewhat ready that I may dine, and girding thyself, be ministering unto me that I have eaten and drunk, and after these things thou shalt eat and drink. Now, person just came in from the field, from tilling and tending the sheep. We haven't got to 10 yet, 9 and 10. But now he's asking, and go, oh, when you come in, now it's time for the break. No. Going to serve the master. Going to make dinner for him and serve and wait for him to eat. And after he's eaten, then you can eat afterwards. Okay? In verse 9, doth he offer thanks unto the servant because he hath done the things enjoined Okay, that's the enjoined is the commanded. Does he offer thanks unto the servants because he hath done the things enjoined or commanded? Thus he also, when ye have done all the things enjoined or commanded upon you, say, unprofitable servants are we. What we were bound to do, we have done. Okay, now as we go through there, you're like, well, boy, that sounds kind of harsh. Okay, this is a parallel, if you will. And so when we look at this, the explanation that I would give for this is this. If I was hired on, say, by Apple, and they're going to start me off at $200,000 a year, you know, and I'm going to start off, or $250,000 a year, I'm going to start off. And I come to work, and I'm expecting them to, you didn't thank me, I worked hard today. Okay? They're not going to do it. And nobody there would expect that. And then when I work a 12-hour shift because we're behind on productivity or something has to be done, we know that it's just required, right? And so do we expect somebody to come there and tell us, thank you for coming to work, thank you for coming here with a good attitude? It's the same thing with a job. When you go to a job, you don't expect somebody to do that. This is what you signed on for. This is what you're doing. And so when we look through here, it sounds harsh. It sounds harsh, but there's a parallel. This is a story to settle why they were asking about when the rewards are going to come. When's the rewards going to come? And so when we talk about this, and everybody's like going, holy cow, I couldn't wait to take a break. I'm tired. I want to sit down and eat. Okay? It will take place. It will take place. And your rewards will come. Okay? The servitude is what we're looking at. And we're not looking at Yahweh to tell us, hey, thanks. Thanks for doing what I asked you to do. You're enjoying to what I've told you to do. Thank you for obeying my commandments. Okay? Well, you didn't thank me today. Okay? No, we thank you, Yahweh, thank you that I'm able to do your commandments. A whole different mindset. But yet, in today's world, when we look at this, everybody's like, oh, you didn't thank me for it. Okay? Yes, it's my job, but for crying out loud, you could at least notice me and show a little bit of appreciation. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Yahweh, that we're doing this, that we have to reverse our mentality that we're there to serve Yahweh, and Yahweh's not there to serve us. Mm-hmm. And so we get blessed as we do these things. He's got an abundance to pour out on us, but when we reverse that mindset, boy, I'll tell you, in those tough times, things roll a whole lot better with that kind of a mindset. So four principles I'm going to go through here. The thankful servant. I love this. I had to kind of dim this down, but it's a military guy carrying this little girl on his back. But anyways, a servant's work is not always sensational. Okay? Again, when you think about this, think about a slave. If you had somebody who was a slave, you're going to probably work them. Okay? And that's how we have to view this, that we are in servitude. And so it's not going to always be sensational. The janitor who's back there cleaning up the vomit after church, or the kid that made a mess eating crackers all over the place, he's thinking to himself, are you kidding me? What the heck? Okay, this is part of it. It's not going to be something that I really want to do. Might be a multitasker, like in the story, where you come in from the field. You plowed the field, now you go tend to the sheep. Oh boy, that sounds like fun. Let's watch them eat for 4 hours. Okay, and then go chase the ones that try to sneak off. Laborious, tedious, mundane. Okay, this is where the people are called to do things where not everybody is going to be out front, that you're still serving. And so when you go and you are serving people and you're not being noticed, and people are like, you walk away going, for crying out loud, you know, I opened the door for this person. I waited on these people because I saw there was a need. I did all these things and not even a thank you. And it is. It's defeating. You're like, come on, at least acknowledge this. Well, same thing with Yahweh. When he sees these people doing, the people that are doing these things for him, he notices it. Even though the people don't notice it, he will be rewarded. He will absolutely be rewarded. And I did this one here, if it will open. Okay. This one kind of made me laugh here. This is a little Nacho Libre intermission break here. I thought this was kind of funny. So this is his attitudes towards his service. Oh, hang on a second. Let me go back here.
Okay. Orvans, listen to me. Listen to Ignacio. I know it's fun to wrestle. Nice pile drive to the face. Punch to the face. But you cannot do it. Because it is in the Bible not to wrestle your neighbor.
So you never wrestle.
Me? No, come on. Don't be crazy. Listen, I know the wrestlers get all the fancy ladies, the clothes, and the free creams and lotions. But my life is good. Really good. I get to wake up every morning 5 a.m. Make some soup. It's the best. Love it. I get to lay in a bed by myself all of my life. It's fantastic. Go away.
Read some books. Okay. But that's it. That's where we look at it. And like when the people who are working, and it does not appear like they're getting anything out of it. So when we feel like we're serving something, we want to get the rewards. We want to see the rewards. And it's the mindset again that Yahweh is not going to thank you for you obeying the commandments and doing it. It's the exact opposite, that we are in servitude to Him, and we are thanking Him that we are able to come before Him and to serve Him. And think about that in paradise, when we're in paradise. Okay? We are still going to be serving. We're still going to have responsibilities and be doing these things. And it's going to be a huge blessing to be able to do those. And we have that opportunity to do it now. So next principle, principle 2. Serving is to be sustained. And that's again where you're like going, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm doing this. It's still, okay, after working all day, come in and still be working. May change locations and job specifics, but sustained. That you're going to continue doing this. And so a lot of times we feel like my work's done for the day. I think I've done enough. Okay, I've done enough. And at that point I would say, look at all the things we did and look at what Christ did for us as an innocent man. Did He do enough? He didn't do anything. But He paid all the price. And so I'm like, I've done enough today. Okay, all right, I'll keep going. What else? What else do you have for me? And trust me, Yahweh knows when the birds need to eat and feeds them. He knows when we need the things. He will feed us. He will take care of us. So it's not like we're being hung out there and, you know, like a lot of people refer to us with Job. Absolutely not. He wants to pour out blessings upon us. But at the same time, we check in. Hey, I am really tired. Yahweh, do you have something else for me? Because if He does, He'll energize you to give you the strength. He'll give you the means to do all these things. It's us that says, I've done enough for today. I've done enough for today. And maybe one more thing was something that would have made a huge impact. And so that's where we change it to, thank you, Yahweh. Yes, I've had a horrible day. You know all about that. You saw it too. What can I do? I'm here to serve you. What can I do? And they'll change your attitude. The issue is not whether we will serve, but where we will serve. Do everything your master commands. And that's where I say, where people look at it, and they're like, well, I can do this, 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 and this. I really don't want to do that. Well, it's not an option. You don't say that as in servitude to somebody. You do what they tell you to do. Third principle is serving is a sacrifice. Okay, and I think that's probably one of the biggest ones to relay. That we are doing this, that we are laying ourselves out to do what's called. Now, if it's something you enjoy to do, great. Okay, that works out fantastic. There will always be one or two things when you're serving that you can, hey, I can do that. That's not a problem. And then there'll be a whole issue of things that I'm not comfortable with. I don't speak well. I don't like to be in front of people. I feel like I don't have anything to say. Okay? Well, you may not, but you have the mouthpiece and the tongue to open up and speak for. And that's where we have to say that. Okay, I'm not comfortable with these. All those things, Yahweh, help me, I'll work on those and I'll start doing those. I will serve you in those attributes. I will work those issues. And as a sacrifice that I will do this for you. After working from sunup to sundown, the servant is tired. Appreciation will be nice, but didn't come. The problem is that we let our feelings get in the way for when we do those jobs. And so we have to get rid of the mentality that we're owed something. Or that it's me, I should get. I've heard that so many times, you know. Yahweh, I've never asked you for anything. And I'm like going, He's not a genie. Okay, He's not a genie that you get your three wishes. Okay, He'll pour out upon you your entire life. Okay, and that's what He wants to do. But it's not that you come before Him and like, okay, I'm ready to cash in this chip that I've been holding these years. That's not what it is. But that's the mentality that people have. I'm frustrated over the gap between what I deserve and what I get. And I see that. I see that with a lot of people who are they never get the recognition. They never get those things, those accolades, and that's how they feel. They become spoiled or they become, soured to the word or being a servant. I'm disappointed with Yahweh because He hasn't come through for me. I'm like, well, how many times does that happen when somebody does that? And that's where we're like going, yes, we're interceding, we're praying for the things. And sometimes when the things don't happen, it's because of a lack of faith or something didn't come through and it's not on Yahweh, it's upon us. And he's waiting for people to call out to do those things, wanting to do those things. But even after those, you still come before Yahweh. And you're like going, Yahweh, thank you for the opportunity to continue serving you and for, you know, the healing in my heart or wherever I need this, but to still serve you and thank you that I'm able to do this. The Pharisees believe that their deeds put Yahweh in their debt. Now, how many people do you know or entities do you know now that feel the same way? It is owed to me because, look at me, I have done this. And I can point to all these people. Look at all these people that I brought in here and filled these pews with. And it's owed to me. And that's a wrong mindset that I'm here to serve. And if I am serving one person or 10,000 people, if I'm doing what Yahweh's called me to do, I am serving. And I'm going to be rewarded for it, whether it gets seen or I get noticed by those people or I'm the guy to come and clean up afterwards after everybody's gone. Okay, and I'm still serving. Mm-hmm. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, and I'll let somebody read that for me if they would. And we are going to be on, I think, page 170.
Yeah, 170.
And somebody would read that for me, 19 and 20.
I will.
Page 170.
In the top left corner.
Right before 2 Corinthians.
Ready? Or know ye not that your body is a shrine of the Holy Spirit that is within you, which ye have from Yahweh? And ye are not your own, for ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify Yahweh in your body.
That's it, and I highly recommend people underline that. And ye are not your own. Okay, you are not your own. What does that make you? It makes you enslaved. That makes you a servant, that you have been bought with a price, a heavy price. And when we change our mindset to that, well, okay, I'm having a bad day. Okay, I know I'm supposed to do these things. I just don't feel like it because of my feelings right now. And you have to cast the feelings aside to be able to move on. And so we are not our own. Romans 13 or 11:35, you don't have to go there. Or who hath first given unto him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. Because of him and through him and unto him are all things. Unto him be the glory unto the ages. Amen. We are not here for our own glory. We are here to serve. And when we look at ourselves as that and not for the glory, we can push that aside. And guess what? One will reverse the other. When I'm going there to serve, that I will start building the glory for Yahweh, which I, as a fellow heir, get to take place of. And am seated in the heavenlies and getting those blessings. Fourth principle, serving is satisfying. Okay? That's the one that everybody would want. Okay, I say that it's sacrifice. Okay, that's the tough one. But it's satisfying. It says no different than this. I hate running. Hate it. Okay, but I will tell you this. Every time when I get done running, I feel good. I feel really good. And it's the same way when we go out and do those things for Yahweh. I really don't want to speak to these people. I don't like that. And then after you do it, what do you feel? You feel good. Like, well, that's satisfying. But we have to fight that old man nature to get through that point. The sacrifice is up front. Ah, I really got to put this all out on the line, and I'm going to look like a fool. And I'm like, going, go serve. Go serve. And then the satisfying comes afterwards. That's why I called it the fourth principle, is that it is satisfying after it's done. The work is done. The same way at the end of the meal, when the master has eaten and had his drink, and now I get to sit down and eat and drink. How good that is, that I get my reward. I do get my reward. Instead of having a feeling of entitlement, we need to see ourselves as unworthy of praise. Praise is not for us. Praise is upward. It is not for us. And so when we have to have that praise in order to serve, we've got to correct that, and we've got to re-channel that. That I am not to be praised. I am not to be the person to be put up on the pedestal. I may have a gift that's given that I am exercising in my servitude, but the praise is to Yahweh, is to Christ. That's where the praise goes. Okay, and so not for myself. So if I'm not getting it, and I feel like I am doing all this for nothing, okay, if I am serving, Trust me, your reward is there, and you will get it, and it's going to be huge what you get, what you're going to see. So not the non-worthiness of that is one where I call people, because I see that too much, especially in a society where we have things where people are like going, you know, well, somebody should be noticing me, that, you know, hey, you're really great with this. No, I thank you. I appreciate that. You know why I'm great? It's because I serve. I serve my Creator, and He's equipped me to do this, and I've walked out on faith to do these things because He told me to do it. That's why. Okay, think this way. Christ has in you his service. In that sense, serving is very satisfying because it's an honor and a privilege. The same way if you got hired on by Coke Industries and he goes, I'll pay you $1 million a year. You're going to be thanking him. Thank you for that job. Holy cow, that's outstanding. I will be here every day a half hour early. I will stay a half hour early. If you need weekends, I'm your guy. Okay, that's it. And so when he doesn't thank you for working that weekend, are you going to be like, I can't believe it. Coming here and this guy doesn't even notice me. Okay, it's the same way with our Creator, that the praise goes to Him, and just because we're not getting the thanks, we are building it. We're building it up. And so it's an honor and a privilege to be able to, A, be able to speak directly. B, be able to hear directly. Okay, C, to hear through other believers. We have a relationship where we talk. Every single one of us in this room has talked to and heard from our Creator. Okay, and anybody who's watching this that has spirit has the same thing. You can absolutely have that. That's a huge benefit, especially in a world where we're like, you know, people bobbing around going down a river not knowing what to do and have no direction. And we know that. We can follow. Anyways, David Livingstone, I kind of like this comment. It was a story that I found. He did 33 years of a mission in Africa. Don't read it. No kidding ahead. Okay, 33 years in Africa in a mission, and when he came back, guess what everybody's doing? They're pouring out the glory and the praise on this guy. Wow, dude, you're fantastic. What you did, that's just awesome. I want to be like you. And here's what his response. For my own part, I have never ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life. That's it right there. People talk of the sacrifice I've made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our Creator or our God, which we can never repay? Is that sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthy activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word in such a view, and with such a thought, it is emphatically no sacrifice. Rather, say, is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, all these things that he went through that everybody knows would take place, or danger now and then with a foregoing of the common conveniences, obviously giving up the conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us and for us. I never made a sacrifice.
Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, I go, yeah, that's a perfect answer to that, because, yeah, it's real easy when the people are pouring that on and all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm being noticed for what I did. That's kind of cool. And he turned it right back around. Yes, I forewent these things. What an honor it was for me to be able to go over and do these things. And I'm like going, that's our attitude. That's the correct attitude. I am to serve. The more we get what we now call ourselves out of the way and let Him take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, or the servants we have been created to be. To get ourselves out of the picture, to remove the mindset that what is in it for me, and it's instead what is in it for Christ. I labor for Christ. I am the hands and feet of Christ, and I obey my Father. So what's in it for Him? When I'm doing something, what's in it for Him? So I do this, I'm not comfortable with it, but this blesses Yahweh, this blesses our Creator for me to do this, I'm on board, I'm doing it, I'll go do it. And so that's where we get ourselves out of the way. Last one here. Samuel, 1 Samuel, again, before 2 Samuel. All right, kids, I'll call you out a page number here. We're going to be on page 291 in the Old Testament.
Okay. I'll go down.
Oh, and I hear the thunder. It sounds awesome. Okay. You got it? 291 down at the bottom. And you know what? I'll start off in 7. even though it's not on the screen here, I'll read this here. Verse 7. Now Samuel as yet knew not Yahweh, nor as yet had been revealed unto him the word of Yahweh. He was still a child. And again Yahweh called Samuel a third time. Then he arose and went unto Eli and said, Behold me, for thou callest me? Then did Eli perceive that Yahweh was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be. If he calls unto thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Yahweh, for thy servant is listening. And Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then came Yahweh and stood and called as time after time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for thy servant is listening. And that's us. That's where we have to be. You call, I do. Okay? You're the master. You tell me, I go do it. And when we set ourselves to that, doesn't matter what it is, it separates us from that where we remove our own inhibitions, our own shortfalls, because if he calls you, trust me, if Yahweh tells you to do something, everything's going to be made available. Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you. We thank you that we do correct ourselves and we remind ourselves just daily and every hourly if needed that we are to serve and that it is an honor and a privilege. And so even when we fight ourselves or fight against the flesh, we intercede that you would just show us and remind us of those things that we're here to serve and it's an honor to serve. Even though we may not feel that we recorrect ourselves and it becomes a privilege and we look at it and view it as it's an honor to be able to serve you, to fellowship with you, to have your son pay the price for us, and the authority that we received from that we were able to be the body of Christ and have all the availability that you gave to your son. And we just thank you for that we walk out on this, and that we do continually call out to you, Yahweh, that your servant is here, that we are listening and we are waiting and we are ready to act. And as we do this, that we walk in faith, which is well-pleasing. For there's nothing that we can give to you short of obedience and our faith that is a blessing to you. For you've given everything and created everything for us, and it is our way of being able to be honorable and be able to walk in your way. So we thank you for that, for correcting us when we have failed to do these things, and show us the dark spots or corners of our lives that we need to just clean out the cobwebs and get rid of those things that shine light bright through all of them, and just remove the corners altogether, that it just becomes a like a temple that's a cylindrical temple on the inside where the light just shines in every direction equally. So we thank you for that. Thank you for the words that you put upon us and for the words that you have for those that are listening. So we say this all through your son's name. My children, come before me that I may be able to funnel you, that as just as a funnel pushes down and gathers and it creates a speed as it goes through, that I will do this for you, that I will channel your talents. I will channel the things that you have to offer, that your abilities that you have. I will channel and focus the things as a flashlight without the cover, without the back lens and the glass. It shines out in directions, and I call for that from times, but I also call for you to focus on the things that I show you and shine where I tell you to shine, and be able to channel those things towards me, that as you channel those things towards me, that I will speak to you, I will give you instructions, I will give you the proof, the things that you need and that you are seeking, that you know that there is a creator, that you know that I am within you as you call before me, that you live your life to me and to change the things, to open up newness, that as you do these things that I will forgive as you have requested forgiveness, if you have come before me and repented of those things and amended your ways, that I am just and free to forgive you and to be able to wash you clean as a lamb's wool. So we call on all those people that are listening to hear this, to be able to grasp hold of this and take hold of the promises. And I just speak this all closing in Christ's name. Amen.